Welcome back to Beholder to One Shot, a D&D TTRPG podcast where we are going to play City of Mist today. I have Adam here, a familiar face. Hello.
Hello.
Adam from Snyder Returns is going to be DMing us. And then I have Aubrey.
Hello.
From Goblets and Gaze. And then Nicola the Druid.
Hello.
Who was recently also on the show. In a discussion episode. Adam, take it away.
It's evening in the city. There is a throng of activity, and we find ourselves looking at the front of the Royal Plaza Casino in downtown. Gamblers, pundits, shuffling in and out of the building, going to wager their hard-earned money, or potentially somebody else's money. Or maybe find out about that another time. And as we pan up through the casino and up into the hotel that rises like a tower above it. We move up through several floors, chasing around. We can see the room service doing their thing, and guests, some staggering down the corridors and the hallways, a few taking the lift, some are celebrating, some are commiserating. And we move further and further up, and we find ourselves moving to a penthouse suite almost at the top of this casino. And as we drift and the camera moves through the door, we find in the shadow, moving through behind a beautiful, ornate bar, a small, shadowed individual, a male, gently lifting an ornate sword in a scabbard off of a display stand. They ferret the weapon about their person and begin moving. Strangely quiet penthouse area, top section of this hotel. The lights in this penthouse are off, only illuminated for the lights of the grander city beyond. You can hear ever so slightly sirens in the distance. You can hear cheers of joy and many other things that sort of permeate up from the street level and into this relatively quiet penthouse. With the weapon on their person, they creep back out into the corridor. You see them pause for a moment and they race towards the stairway, taking them up towards the roof. As they exit out of a fire escape and come out onto this rooftop, the evening, though sort of overcast, it's warm, it's still. As they reach out and they look across the rooftops, looking for their extraction, looking for their escape, they scan across and see a group of four individuals towards the edge of the hotel roof. One is impeccably dressed in a suit with their back turned to this individual. Another, a tall, broad man, clearly of a muscular physique, stands to one side. And the other side, curiously enough, is a man with a lead holding three dogs. Quite why they're on the roof, we're not entirely sure, but it is the fourth person, a female in a beautifully sort of cut and made gold, apparently sequined dress, who stands on the ledge of this building, facing back towards the three. We pause for a moment as the scene stops. The camera shifts and we watch as the man in the smart suit places his palm up the chest area of this beautifully dressed lady as she begins to turn. Our individual with the sword, who is set back, lets out a gasp. The tall, muscular man turns and looks to him. Scanning across the rooftops, they make eye contact. Our thief with the sword hurriedly escapes across, being eagerly pursued by this large muscular back man as he folds out what can only be described as a small hang glider as he leaps off and begins his ascent into the busy city streets below. The muscular back man turns back to the well-dressed individual, who gives him a nod, and the three begin to depart from the rooftop. Where do we find you in the city at this time, Anya?
So Anya is probably staking somewhere out. She probably has been hired to steal something, and is, you know, since it is night, it is the best time to figure out a place.
Describe Anya for us.
So Anya is, at first glance, you probably wouldn't notice or care too much. Pretty basic, nondescript, dark clothing, a sort of a dark leather jacket with a hood, which is currently pulled up over her head, and she keeps her head low. But when you can see her, she's sort of got these cold gray eyes and long, messy, dark hair.
So as you stake out your potential next score, should we say, you shift around. Martha, what are you doing while the city sort of comes to life this night?
Martha is at her bar, kind of bringing out the cups and things for bartenders, and she, you know, is just making sure that everything is set up so that they can run smoothly. And she has jet black hair that she wears up in a ponytail to keep out of her face while she's at work, and kind of like a nice fitting suit that is both comfortable in case she does have to assist with whatever's happening at the bar, but also looks very businesslike. And she's greeting her bartenders and things like that, making sure that everything's ready for the busy time.
All right, and you know, patrons are starting to drift in and you're soaking up some of the nightlife activity as people begin to sort of come in and use your establishment. What about Scarlet? What do you do with your evenings normally in the city, Scarlet?
Scarlet's hanging out with Jill usually in her evenings. Sometimes they go to the local bar just to chill out, but most of the time they just hang out at home when Scarlet doesn't have work to do.
All right.
So right now they're cuddling on the couch, being cute, watching the latest Netflix show.
Nice. All right. As you're all continuing carry on with your evening routine, Anya, your phone begins to ring. I hope you have a phone on you.
Yeah, she probably has a phone. She'll look at it and see if it's a number she recognizes first.
The name and number that comes up is Theo. You would know Theo as a criminal contact, should we say.
Yeah, well, she'll sort of pick up and then after a second and go just, duh.
Anya, I didn't know who else to call. I need some help. I need you it's not that I've done something, but I've seen something, and I think I've been made, and I'm scared on you.
She will take a second and then just be like, okay, so where are you right now?
I'm going to the Ace of Clubs, the bar. Marla says she'll look after me, but I think he's coming to get me.
Slow down. Who is going to get you?
The man from the rooftops. He saw me. I know he did. And I had the blade in my hand.
Okay. Yes, go to the bar. I will be there shortly, and we can figure this all out then.
Please hurry, Anya. Please.
Yes, I will be there.
And the phone hangs up.
Sigh and wistfully glance towards the place she was probably going to rob tonight and just be like, tomorrow. Before heading towards the bar.
Priorities.
Yep.
Definitely. And how do you get about the city, Anya?
She probably has a motorcycle of some kind. Very sleek and black. Very easy to not notice in the dark.
That's very cool. So as you're making your way through to the bar, the city comes alive, begins jumping and everything else. And although for everybody else, finding the Ace of Spades would be quite difficult, it's sort of nestled away. It's through a couple of back streets and things in the old quarter. It's more of a like a speakeasy, really. It's a small gambling hall. And as you descend, you see a very sort of slight-looking lady behind the bar. You've probably seen each other in the past as you've sort of moved around the city. And she gives you a welcoming nod, Anya.
Not in return. Don't really say anything. We'll scan the room for the person I'm looking for. I still haven't taken off my hood.
Okay. As you scan the room, you see a couple of old boys playing some cards, a couple of younger lads playing a different sport. There's a pool table. It's kind of a relaxed, chilled, easy situation. But you don't, at this point in time, see Theo's face in this relatively small crowd, this relatively small establishment, Ace of Clubs.
Well, then I will, I guess, go find a seat in probably like a corner booth with my back to the wall, or as close to a corner booth as I can get.
As you sit down, the lady comes around from behind the bar, comes over. You looking for anyone, sweetheart, my love?
I'm just waiting for a friend. He should be here before too long.
Anyone I know, I can handle the troublemakers if you need me to.
I mean, you haven't seen Theo tonight, have you?
You sense tension on her face as she looks at you. Oh, Theo, no, that name's not familiar to me.
Yes, but if it do happens to be familiar at any point, or he walks in, just let him know that Anya is over here.
I don't think Theo's going to be coming in tonight, she says as she begins to wrap a kitchen roll around her hand. No, nervously, it's not in an aggressive way, it's more of a nervous sort of twisting of fabric.
I mean, he certainly said to meet him here, so...
I'm afraid he's not here. He's and you can now sense the tension and the stress as she is looking around. And she looks around and she intimates to you that she wants to slide into the booth, into the corner with you.
Yeah, gesture to for her to sit across and, you know, sort of scan the room and make sure that nobody's paying a little bit too much attention to me.
Scan the room to make sure no one's paying attention. Everyone's wrapped up in what their own what they're doing. Behind the bar, another bar person has taken their position while Marla has come to join you. She says, he's in trouble.
Yes, I gathered that much from the phone call.
Oh, he phoned you?
Yes, just a little while ago, saying something about the sword. And someone chasing him.
He didn't have the sword when I saw him. He stopped him briefly. I mentioned that if he was in trouble, he wasn't safe here. And then someone else turned up. A strong, muscular man, plainly dressed. He looked evil.
Yes, it was probably the person he was talking about. But did he... So the deer left and he headed somewhere.
The last thing he said was something about the city stadium. I can't leave the bar, but can you go and check it out? Would you mind?
Yes, I will go make sure he is all right and figure out what kind of trouble he has gotten himself into tonight.
I hope he's okay. Bring him back here safe, please.
Yes, I will drag him by the ear if I have to.
Thank you. And she sort of straightens herself out. You can see as she's twisting it up, her profile is incredibly thin. She slides out from behind the table and stands up and returns to the bar and begins serving. What do you do from now, Anya?
Probably pull up a map of the city on my phone and figure out where the stadium is and probably the best route there, while taking like a few minutes to be like, okay, I might run into trouble. Do I have everything I need?
And do you have everything you need?
I probably have whatever, like, thieves' tools and that I then probably, like, something that is the equivalent of, a nightstick, just in case somebody gets frisky.
Fair enough. While you are checking your nightstick, that's a sense I never thought I'd say.
Yeah.
While you are checking your equipment and scanning the map of the city, Scarlett, yours and Jill's time relaxing in front of the telly is rudely interrupted as Jill's phone goes off.
I pause it.
Just like
this
that.
Time.
I'm sorry. That's strange. It's one of my co-workers. It's Michael. Hold on, sweetie. Hold on. And she stands up, and at first it's a quite relaxed sort of conversation. And then she's only about 20 or 30 seconds into the phone call, and you can see her expression changes, and then she sort of freezes and drops the phone, and you can see tears are starting to well up in her eyes.
Jill, sweetie, what's wrong? What happened?
It's Ashley. She committed suicide at the casino tonight.
Scarlett will instantaneously go and hug her and pick up the phone to make sure that the person isn't still on the line.
You do as you sort of bend to pick it up. You can hear the soft sort of tones of Michael.
Hello, Jill?
It's Scar. I got her. You want to fill me in?
We're getting, it was on the news and we found out through social media, it's horrible, but that, we think Ashley's jumped off the top of the casino. It's a whole crime scene down there, you know, there's police and everything, but I didn't want Jill to find out any other way.
It's fair. Would I know who Ashley is?
It's sort of a friend of a friend. Jill may have mentioned her in passing from time to time. They may have gone for like works, drinks.
The suspicious person that I am, I will ask, was this something that was plausible, or was she a happy-go-lucky person?
She seemed to be happy, but I guess her sister went missing years ago, and she's always been a bit cut up about that, but we thought she was always happy at work, and I don't know, maybe her finances, I don't know, we thought she was.
Wait, which building was she in again?
She was at, if what I've been told is correct, they found her on the pavement outside the casino. They think she's jumped.
And you said financial?
Maybe. I didn't know her that well, but you know, we work together, like with Jill, and so, you know.
Okay.
Sorry, Scarlet.
No, you're fine. You gave me more than enough. Thanks for the call. Do you know if she has any other relatives?
I think her mum lives out of town after her older sister went missing. They kind of fell apart. But I'll try. I'll see if I can find a number.
All right, thanks. And then I'll just hang up. I won't say bye. As I continue to comfort Jill, hypothetically, do I know the other two?
I would have thought so if you are loosely attenuated as a criminal group by association.
Okay. I will call Martha as I'm still just comforting. I'm just like, there. It's okay. But Scarlet doesn't really do well with emotions, and like her way of solving things is like figuring it out, and based off her job and context clues, she doesn't think it was done the way that they're saying it's been done. So she'll call Martha.
And it takes Martha a moment to answer because she has to like run to the back to get away from the noise. But she answers and is like,
hello.
Hey, Martha, it's Scar.
Hi.
Have you been watching the news at all today, by chance?
No.
Probably.
Why?
Good. There's a weird situation. As I'm talking, I will set Jill down on the couch and like give her like a teddy bear or something to cuddle as I walk away to have the conversation. Something happened to a coworker of my girlfriend's, and I don't know, all of my red flags are just pinging.
What do you mean something happened?
Supposedly, she leaped off of the building of the casino, but there were contacts of financial troubles potentially, and she lost a sibling a couple years ago, and it's not lining up because she seemed to be a happy person from the person I was speaking to. So I don't know, maybe there's more to it. It's all over the news.
Sweetie, I think you know in this city there's always more to it. Yeah, I agree. We should probably look into this.
I mean, worst case scenario, we just find some bad guys who have lots of money and then we just take it from them as payback. But,
my favorite.
I know. But I figured if I get some answers, at least I could get some closure for Jill as well.
Of course, yeah.
Beat up some bad guys.
Yeah, I mean, things are picking up here, but I got my best bartenders on tonight. So, yeah, do you want to meet down here and put a plan together, or do you want to go straight there?
I'll meet you there. Do you want to call Anya, or do you want me to?
Oh, I can do it.
Okay. All right, cool. I'll be there in a bit.
All right. Scarlet, what do you do to get ready to go out into the night?
She was still in her PJ, so she goes and throws on a pair of indescript jeans that are just comfy and kind of worn in, and pulls on her very, very not inconspicuous red cloak jacket that kind of like flows around her. It has like this giant hood, and she puts her hair up in like chopstick buns, basically, with some old chopsticks from some Chinese takeout a few days ago, just to get it off of the back of her neck. And she goes to Jill and goes, I'm going to go take care of some things. You gonna be good? Do you want to go to your mom's? I can drop you off on the way.
Are you gonna be long, Scarlet?
I'm gonna check in on this. It doesn't seem right with me. I just want to get some answers. That's all.
Don't take long, okay? And stay safe. Okay.
I'm always safe. I've only been shot at like twice. It's fine. It's great.
It doesn't help when you say that, Scarlet. I know.
Right. Sorry. Right. Okay, let me just go take you to your mom's and everything will be fine. Everything's gonna be great.
I'm gonna stay here. I want to wait here for you.
Okay, do you want me to have her come here? Or do you want me to have a friend come over? I don't know, I want you to be yourself.
I'd rather you didn't leave.
Unfortunately, that's not an option, dear.
Please be quick.
Okay. Kiss her on the forehead again. And then as I'm leaving, I call her mom anyway and ask her to stop over.
As you give her a kiss on the forehead, she gives you a hug. And she sort of breathes a little bit heavy and then lets you go.
Cool. I have like a rundown, like Honda Civic or something like that, and I'll just drive that over.
All right. As you are fighting your way through the evening traffic to Martha's Bar, Anya, you've been scouring your phone, map of the city. You know, from here, it's given the time for a car anyway. It would take a little bit of time to get across to the city, but get across to the stadium, I should say. But on your bike, probably get it there in 20 minutes, half an hour.
Yeah. You know, after she has everything and makes sure she is prepared, we'll probably get ready to hop on the bike and head over.
All right. As you hop on the bike and start disappearing through Bayou City traffic, we see panning out from all of your activities, the tall, muscular, simply clothed gentleman proceed towards a damn near pristine Dodge Charger style car. As he whips the door open and his jacket lifts back slightly, you can see a almost ornate looking but well constructed, well maintained, clean, bright, almost gleaming silver pistol at his hip in a holster. He gets in the car and you can see him also playing with his sat nav to bring up the stadium's location as he revs his engine up and begins to weave out from under the casino that he'd gone back to and take his car across the city. Scarlett, your Honda Civic is able to miraculously, in a city this busy, is able to find a space not too far away from Martha's bar as you get out. Martha, what have you been doing in the meantime while you've been waiting for Scarlett's appearance?
I have been wrapping up the test that I was doing, but also going back to my office, which is supposed to be the only place that doesn't have, like, security cameras. And I kind of just do a quick sweep because I'm very paranoid. But then I also straighten up my office because it got a little messy since the last time I actually let people come in my office. And just kind of check and busying myself, but I do also want to, like, pop up the news on my phone.
All right.
And read a little bit about the incident.
So scrolling through the news on your phone, a couple of headlines, mainly, you know, breaking news, horrific accident at Royal Plaza Casino, and then a quick blurb about how the police have cordoned off the area. Scrolling a bit further down, there's like a traffic report saying avoid the area if you can because they've closed the roads in the downtown to create a police cordon. There's some sports news about how it's off season and the stadium's empty. Weather news about how it's going to be overcast, mainly dry through the night, and some relevant temperatures and air pressure information. Other than that, there's some entertainment news and some giveaways for various entertainment outlets.
I also just remembered I'm supposed to call Anya, so I also do that.
All right. Anya, on your bike, as you weave through the city traffic, your phone, I don't know if you have, like, comms in your helmet or if you wear a helmet or not, but your phone begins to ring again.
Probably don't wear a helmet and probably unsafe like that, but seeing it rings and seeing if it's a name I recognize, she'll, you know, pull off into like an alley, and once the bike is stopped, she'll pick up and with just a quiet like, "Ah."
Oh, hello, sweetie. Are you busy right now?
It depends on your definition of busy, but I have a moment.
Yeah, Scarlett just called me and there's been a like a kerfuffle or maybe an accident at the Royal Plaza. She wants to go check it out, so maybe you could join us, and if nothing else, there's some bad guys to take care of.
Yes, and I may actually have some information on that. Kind of on my way to a place, you know, the big, important stadium.
Yeah, what? But, yeah, I guess if something's going to go down, it's going to go down at that big, empty stadium.
Yes, something along those lines. Colleague, loosely, of mine, he lifted something that he probably shouldn't have from said casino, and is asking for my help.
Do you want backup on that? Do you want us to come meet you down there? Or after you swing by, do you want to meet us at the bar?
I can come to the bar. It's probably better that we all get on the same page for this, because this is more than just someone needing to lie low for a couple of hours. There is definite trouble.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Scarlett should be here any minute. So I guess we will see you shortly.
Yes, I'll be there as soon as the streets let me.
Ooh, all right.
Or the sidewalks.
Yeah, the sidewalks. Streets, sidewalks, weaving between cars.
Whatever.
Strange alleyways that I can cut through.
Ice. So as that phone call finishes, and very soon after, Scarlett, we sort of see you out on the sidewalk moving through this last section of the city. Martha's bar is there just across in front of you. Just across in front of you, and that makes some sense. And you can see people rifling in and out. There's revelers outside enjoying the night air. Some of them smoking, some of them not. And you are sort of able to enter the bar should you choose.
Yes, I'll park in the back where the employees park so that it doesn't get towed. And then I'll go through the rear entrance and walk to the office and just like do a little tap on the door.
So when you tap on the door, it probably wasn't clicked all the way. So it comes open a little bit and Martha grabs open the door. He's like, Oh goodness, come on in. I just got off the phone with Anya. Be here any second.
Awesome. You got some coffee? Like, I was chilling, just watching movies.
I very likely, being into the nightlife, very likely have a Keurig just in my office, because that is very much something I would do.
French vanilla, if you have any.
Pull out the big 60 pack that you find at Costco that's got like 8 different flavors in it. Yeah, French vanilla, sure.
All right. As you enjoy some coffee, Anya, you're moving on your bike, racing in between cars, probably on the wrong side of the road at some points, probably down alleys you shouldn't be going down at some points, and probably along sidewalks you really shouldn't be going down at some point as you weave between the traffic. And your phone again begins to ring.
Is it Theo?
It will be Theo, yeah, if you stop to take it.
No one will be able to hear it. It'll just be a lot of cursing in Russian. Just being like, hold on, we'll be there too soon, and then just keep going.
As you sort of put that down the phone, we go to the other end of the phone with Theo hiding up in one of the booths, the announcer's booth in the stadium, sort of trying to cower out the way. And every shadow, every sort of shift, every noise, he's looking out the window, out onto the stadium, across the stands, and then ducking back down, and he's like, come on, come on. He's very frightened. However, you weave between the streets and you are able to sort of make your way to Martha's Bar. You have probably annoyed many people and potentially have a criminal record and many traffic violations, but you get there and make your way in. The three of you are reunited.
Just sort of Anya will just sort of walk in and just being like, oh yes, everyone is here, good.
Coffee.
Yes, coffee, yes, coffee, good. But yes, and, you know, when she actually gets in, she will take off her hood for, like, the first time. And her dark hair is still a mess. And, you know, she'll be like, yes. So, we probably don't have a lot of time, but here is lowdown. Theo stole something from the casino, think he said sword, and was being chased by a big angry man. And, yes, and apparently now he is heading out at the fucking Coliseum of all things.
Is Theo a co-worker of Jill's as well, or is it son related?
Is from your criminal life, not from your...
Okay.
Not from your good life.
What's with the casino? Because there's some weird shit going on at the casino.
Yes, I mean, it's a casino. There's always weird shit, but yes, definitely a little bit more weird than normal.
Yeah, and I'll fill Anya in the situation for Jill's co-worker.
Yes.
That's two things in the same night for the same casino. That something's not right.
Yes. If we go and rescue Theo, he may have answers for us.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, let's go pick that boy up, see what he's got to say.
I hope he hasn't done any more stupid things since he got to the Coliseum.
it's Theo, so.
It's debatable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are we all taking one car? Or are we?
It is actually probably better if we all arrive at the same time. They will just hide the bike.
Oh, you can leave the bike here in my office. It's fine.
The motorcycle.
Don't do that. You brought that bike with you. Okay.
Yes.
You can leave that in the... Oh, wait, no.
It might be a little hard to get in.
Just a smidge. Well, I have my Civic. Just ignore the fast food bags in the back. But other than that, it's cleanish. It'll probably get us there.
I wouldn't expect anything different.
I think Martha probably has a car, but it's probably a little bit, not an expensive car, just a little bit flashier. And so she agrees with the Civic that probably shouldn't take something that's going to be like, oh, there's a person who has money here.
Yeah.
Look at that fancy car. Who could that possibly be in the middle of nowhere?
Yes, the Civic.
As you all bundle into the Civic, who drives? Scarlett, do you drive your own car, or do you get nudged out of the way for one of the others?
Just somebody nudge me out of the way to take over my dirty car.
I don't.
No.
All right.
I guess I'm driving.
So as the three of you sort of bundle into the Civic, get out the car park, back into the city streets, and you start weaving your way through the traffic. So we get that sort of top-down view of you changing lanes and weaving through and taking all the relevant turnings and junctions and all those sorts of good things. We'd sort of pan over to the crime scene or the incident scene staged outside the casino, and we can see the smartly dressed man speaking to detectives and sort of giving unknowing shrugs, pointing to the building and to himself, and it's all sweetness and light as he appears to come across. And you can see the police officers taking some notes and nodding along, and there's a few others sort of walking the perimeter to talk to witnesses and stuff like that. So that's happening at the casino. Deeper into the city, on the roads a little bit ahead of you, given relative starting positions, we see this sleek dark Charger cautiously weaving through the traffic. There's definitely an intent there, but they're not cutting anyone off to make themselves sort of high profile either. There's a restraint, there's a control to the driving, and as the driver you can see sort of tensing the jaw, gripping and releasing the steering wheel in a controlled manner, most sort of calming themselves down and psyching themselves up as they weave through. And we start to see on the street signs for the stadium as they begin to sort of weave and follow those signs heading through. As your little trio in your Honda Civic gets caught at a couple of lights and a few junctions and crossings and things like that, you now start to see the signs for the stadium. And as you weave through and you start to just head out of town, you swear, as the road has become quieter and it's more of a long drag down to the stadium itself that now looms large in horizon, you swear there's a set of tail lights ahead of you. What are you doing, Scarlett? You're driving.
What do you guys want me to do? Should we just pull up, or should we go a different way?
They're ahead of us, right?
They are, yeah.
Yes, I don't know exactly.
And they're heading the same direction as us?
You are heading in the same direction as them, technically.
Yes, well, it may help because we can at least get them out of the way before we get in too much trouble. If they are actually not good.
Yeah, we should probably be sure that they're not... I mean, it could just be an innocent banker who is angry, I think.
I mean, no bankers that are innocent.
Preach.
Okay, sorry. Banker might not have been the right term. I just couldn't think of any other job ever on the spot. We could try to go a shortcut and get there before him if he's heading in the same direction.
I have an idea.
I'm all ears.
One of the mythos powers I have is the clinging shadows. I have subversion, and I have... One of my tags is shadow control. My idea was to use that and try to make it a lot harder for them to see.
All right, then I would like you, since you're going to try and use some shadow to your advantage, change the game for me.
Oh, and I'll just use the, any other... just shadow control is the only one I think that is relevant to this. And that is an 8.
8. So with an 8, so what power is that? A power of 1.
It is 1 power.
Yeah.
Just make it a little bit harder for them to see, so maybe they slow down and maybe we can take the moment and go past.
So you gain a juice and you can use that to create a story tag, and a power tag or a story tag, reduce a status, so you can... In what way are you using your shadows?
Sort of make them seem like they're closing in around the car, like maybe they're like... The streetlights around are dimming, and their headlights are maybe not as bright. So therefore, like, they're a little bit unsure if like what they are doing. So either they have to like slow down, or if they do speed up, they might risk hitting something.
Okay, so maybe give them a status of cautious
yes.
One. You notice that the car does slow slightly. That you see a flick of the brake lights as the car eases back slightly on the power. You can hear the engine sort of run down ever so slightly as sort of shadow comes up and starts to just envelop around the car itself. And the gap between the pair of you lessens. But you're still both, while they have slowed, you are still both heading towards the stadium, which is now getting closer. You can see the perimeter fence and the main access into the car park area is coming up just off to the left. And there, you do notice their indicator, quite who indicates at this point in time on an empty road? You don't know, but they do. Their indicator comes on. It's good driving habits.
Wow, these crooks have really great driving habits.
You don't want to get caught out. Turns into the stadium parking. So what are you doing? You're just behind. You've caught up a little bit, but they have now sort of entered onto the stadium car park area.
I'll probably park on the rooftop, honestly, and where it's like least likely to be seen. or in a place that's like in a corner where it won't be seen. I will keep my eye out for any cameras and purposely avoid them as I'm walking. Hello. Sorry for the interruption here, but I wanted to give you an advertisement for one of our friends in the tabletop community. Please give it a listen and go check them out.
Near the small village of Heartscrest lies an idyllic hollow abundant with flowers and berry bushes. The Warren of Petal Grove is vast and expansive. Hundreds of generations have hopped around its many twisting tunnels. Stories say that this warren has been here since Loam's creation, and all rabbits who inhabit the continent today descended from them. Humans and other various predators come to hunt for rabbits every now and then, nothing out of the ordinary. And until recently, the rabbits of Petal Grove have lived in relative peace. Hello, I'm Amber, the GM of the Warren of Petal Grove. The Warren is a game about intelligent rabbits trying to make the best of a world filled with hazards, predators, and worst of all, other rabbits. I really love the idea of having a game and setting where I plus players could tell several short stories. So I recruited 12 players to play in 3 different mini-stories, all set inside the same Warren. Sessions are aired live on twitch.tv/geekspective. You can find the VODs on Geekspective's YouTube, and you can find the show wherever you listen to your podcasts. Go to geekspective.com for more information.
Now, back to the show.
All right. So as you pull up into a quieter shadowed spot, or shadowy spot, looking out across the only other car, well, there are 2 cars technically, the only other car here recently is the charger of this individual. You hear the engine being switched off as they begin to get out and move towards the stadium itself. There's also another similar car to yours, really, in worse condition in many respects, somehow parked a bit further over. Also, they've tried to park it out the way like you have, but very unsuccessfully. So there's only 3 cars in the car park. Yours in the shadow, the charger, which is pretty much parked in the middle because, you know, they don't care. And then this 3rd car, which is parked across almost in an opposite corner, but less so. Scanning the grounds, you do see security cameras, but they all seem to be pointing in various different directions.
Do you want me to just go, like, delay him? You guys can sneak around. I can be quite convincing.
Yes, I mean, if you think you can invest a few moments to get in, I don't see it. I don't have any problems with that.
I mean, the other option is I could just sneak up behind him and knock him out.
There is that, too.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that is totally... Do you think that would work? It can also be quite charming.
Maybe a little bit of A and B?
A little bit of A and B. Martha takes her ponytail and like pulls it out and shakes her hair up a little bit and begins to make her way towards this suited figure.
All right. As the suited figure alights from his car, the status alert 2 is now on. So but if you're rolling something, that will be in play right from the start as he gets out of his car. So he gets out the car and swings around the door, shuts the door behind him. You can see just as he adjusts his jacket again, there's a glint under his jacket as he sort of redresses himself, having got out the car. What is it you want to do?
I want to talk to him. So I guess rolling-wise, it would be convince. But part of one of my mythos, Bastion, I have charming and convincing as 2 of my tags. So I'm hoping to kind of just like sweet talk him, distract him just a little bit from going into the stadium.
All right. So sweet talk. Interesting. I would like you to roll a convince for me, but the alert 2 status will go against you.
And so then I add +2 for both those powers, or do I just add 1 power?
You can add as many relevant tags as you have, but that 2 will be a minus on your...
Yeah, okay.
I'll come.
Trying to think of any of my others. No, so it's just going to be those 2 power, and I'm so nervous because I'm really bad at rolling things. Ooh, that's not great. Just a 7.
Is that with the -2 from alert 2?
No.
Yikes.
It would just be essentially a flat 5 because it'd take away my 2 power tokens. My 2 power tags. Yeah.
Well,
it's
like, fight.
Not necessarily. So as you approach and try and get his attention, you can see there's a military bearing to the way this individual, this gentleman, holds himself and sort of prepares himself. And even before you're within speaking range, you clock the fact that he is there and he sort of whips around to you. What are you doing here?
Oh, honestly, my friends, the the pick-me-up from the bar, and they pulled over because the other one was going to throw up. And so I thought maybe you could help us and give directions because we're from out of town. And we don't even know where this is.
The best thing you can do is go back to your car and head out of town.
But we don't know which way that is.
As he raises his arm, almost not looking at you at this point, beginning to walk, he just points. And as he points back down the road, so the road out of town that you would have passed, the jacket lifts and you can see the weapon just sort of sat in a holster. It's that way. And he just begins striding with purpose towards the stadium.
Could I have used that opportunity to get close behind him?
Do a sneak around then, but also he's still alert too.
Well, I have lurk in hiding because I'm wearing my hood and I have easy to ignore.
Okay.
So that will give me +2.
Take off the 2 for alert.
And I'm not going to give myself the plus for this, but I did conjure my hunting weapon.
Okay.
But it's not technically a bonus because I'm basically sneaking up behind him to try to knock him out. It's a 9 on the die.
Nine.
So +2, -2.
On a 9, it gets a bit complicated for you, I'm afraid. As you begin to sneak up, he doesn't see you approach, but there's a bit of gravel just in the car park and your foot just... You can see almost his ears prick up. It's almost animalistic. You can almost see the hairs on the back of his neck stand up. It's that still here in this place. So as his arm is raised, pointing down the road for Martha, telling her that's the way out of town, he sort of stiffens up and you think he may have heard you.
Can I attack him?
Go toe to toe.
Well, I lost the prize attack, but do I get I always find my prey at least?
If you didn't use it on the first roll, you can use it on this one.
Can I use Conjure Hunting Weapon on this one since I technically didn't use it on the last one?
Yes, you can. What is it you're trying to do as you attack him?
I'm trying to hit him with the hilt of my... Well, I don't technically know he's a bad guy. I'm assuming he's a bad guy. So...
You're assuming a lot at this point. Although you have seen a weapon.
Yeah, and he does look like a dick, so...
True.
Is it possible when I see Scarlet coming up that I could give advantage by using one of my abilities, which is turning people to stone?
Ooh, wow. You could use a help point. I know we haven't allocated those, but we'll just say you've got 2 each. So you could allocate a help point.
Yeah.
But how would you be helping?
So we didn't discuss how much of a stone, but I think it's my expression, mythos, my quality is essentially petrification. Mm-hmm. So like I can like stop his feet so that he stands still as okay. Just my expression.
So as you concentrate on and try and get his feet to turn to stone, that gives you a +1 to your roll, Scarlet.
Awesome. So that would be 9 +2 +1.
You got a 12.
And I'm going to be hitting him in the temple, basically, to knock him unconscious, because I don't want to kill him yet, but that is my goal.
Okay, so with a 12 or a 10+, you can choose 2 of the following. You can achieve your goal, you take something to hold, you can get them good by giving a status, or you can block, dodge, or counter their best attempts. Whichever 2 of those you choose, I get to use the 3rd.
I'll do achieve your goal and the stasis one. Yeah, I basically wanted to give us the advantage. My goal was to knock him out, but if I'm not going to be able to do that, distract him enough that we could possibly take any weapons away from him.
As you sort of crack down, he whips round and he pulls the gun from the holster, and you can see it sort of swaying as he's trying to catch it, and he lines up on the first target that is in sight, and he lowers the pistol towards you, Martha, and I need you to face danger. Make sure we need the right bit.
Ooh, yay! Okay.
Yay.
So...
Against a gunshot wound 4.
Okay, I don't like that. But I do have... Also, as part of my expression, I can activate bulletproof skin, so that would be 1.
Okay, he's also dizzy 2, so you get that as a plus.
Okay, so then that's a +3 altogether, because I don't think that I have any other power tags. Ooh, a 9?
All right, face danger. On a 7-9, you take the status, but as a minus tier. So you get gunshot wound 3.
Could I help with my hood by trying to like use my hood to block it because I have protected by the hood?
Not in this instance.
Just
sorry. So as he sort of rubs the back of his head and pulls the gun and sort of flails around, the first person he sees is you, Martha. And although you can see the sort of the dizziness as he's shaking his head, he pulls the trigger. As the flash from the muzzle comes off, you're able to twist slightly, but not enough, as it sort of the bullet sort of impacts you into what's a non-vital organ. Yes, one of those. You begin to bleed. The sound of the gunshot like echoes out across the stadium. Anya, your phone begins to ring again.
Theo, we're coming. And Anya is just hold on a little bit longer.
I heard a gunshot.
That's a gunshot.
He's coming. It's help me.
Oh, yes. We'll be there as soon as we can. Keep hiding. Keep hiding. Find a dark place. Just hide. That's all I can tell you right now. I really got to go take care of something. And then I'm going to rush the goon.
Oh, nice. I would like you to hit with what you've got.
I have a tag for my personality, cold shoulder, that is dangerous.
Ooh.
Could I use that?
Yeah, why not?
Cool. That's a 10.
All right. Nice. So on a 10, you can choose two of the following. You can take or secure a superior position. You can get them good or get them, but there's only one of him, so you can get them good. Get him good. In this instance, you can control the collateral damage, you can hold the target's attention, or you can take the upper hand by banking a juice for use in a different scene.
Yeah, I will get him good, and I will control the collateral damage.
All right, so get him good. So what status are you going to give?
Probably just going to try to whack him over the head with the nightstick. Either compound on the dizziness or try to give him just... honestly, like, yeah, I'm going for the unconscious, but dizziness or disoriented, that kind of thing.
What level was that, sorry?
I had one power tag, but with getting good, I get plus one, so that's two.
That's right. So that adds to the dizzy states he's already got, pushing it to a three, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. So he goes up to dazed three.
Cool.
Can I attempt to turn him into stone again?
You just beat this guy into a consciousness.
Pretty much. While he stands and sways, he seems to be sort of breathing deep as you're powering these hits down on him now from all angles. You hear him sigh a little bit and a harsh intake of air. And you wanted to try and turn him to stone, correct?
Yes. So I'm assuming my gunshot status gives me minus three?
It does.
Okay. So turn into stone is a power tag. Anger is a power tag. And vengeance, because he shot me.
He did shoot you. It wasn't very friendly at all.
No. So I think that those three things, vengeance coming from my personality logos, turn to stone, and anger coming from my expression mythos. So I think that would negate my gunshot, and so just be a straight roll.
Yeah, I'll go with that. Hit with all you've got.
There we go.
He's also dazed three, so that would be another Ooh, three.
That's a nine.
We'll add on the three because he's dazed, so it's not like he can sort of get out of the way.
Oh, so it's a 12. Oh my goodness.
On a 10 plus, can take a superior position, get them good, control the collateral damage, hold the target's attention, or gain a juice.
So I want to give them the tag of petrified, and I think that's a one, or is that a three?
What was your power?
So technically my power was zero because I had minus three for gunshot, but then I had three power tags.
And then you had the plus three for days, so then technically power three.
Yeah. Power three.
And then if you get them good, that's a four.
Yep. So we're going to get them good, and then I'm going to gain the upper hand so that I get one juice.
All right. What does it look like as you begin to petrify this muscular individual?
It's like a wind has blown through Martha's hair, but there's no real wind. It's just like a little bit of static and wind as her eyes turn very red and she's looking, and he just kind of like all of his muscles tense up so that he's just can't move in whatever position he was in.
All right. Did you say petrified four, was it?
Yeah, petrified four.
Yeah. He is just strong enough to twist his neck effectively looking at, you won't see all three of you because Scarlet's behind him, Anya and Martha, you're sort of to one side. He's got just enough muscle strength, having sucked in the air, and you can hear it, something sort of click and crackle in the back of his throat. And as he breathes out, there is a cone of fire that expends out from his mouth. I need the pair of you to face danger against Burns 4.
Am I allowed to use the same tag twice in a row?
No, it's a short answer.
Dang it.
Now, once you've used it for one move, it's then technically linked or tied up until the scene changes.
I have self-reliance for my cold shoulder.
Okay.
And I was like, I have careful and measured for Master Thief.
How would you be careful and measured in this situation?
I don't know. I was just trying to pitch it.
Nice.
But self-reliance.
If you can sell it to me, I can... But self-reliance works.
Self-reliance, yeah. I'll roll self-reliance.
As part of my bastion, I have defense, but based on the question that I answered, it was that I was giving it to other people. I don't think I can add that power tag for me, but I'm wondering if I can give it to Anya.
It's a power tag. It's there to be utilized in a way you see fit, as is... Mm. Required by the scene, by the incident that's happening, so don't tie yourself too much to the questions from character creation. So if you feel it applies, I think it does, then use it.
Okay, then I just have one tag I can use on myself, but then I have -3. Oh, my one juice.
And your one juice.
So technically I'm rolling at a -1.
We're rolling at, what, a -4?
Yes, against Burns 4.
Fun.
You took him on.
Mm-hmm, we did.
And it's also my fault for rolling a 5 at the beginning.
Yeah, I got a before the -4, I got a 9, so with the -4 I only get a 5.
Okay, well, before the -4 I rolled a 5.
So
a 1?
It's not -4 yet.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay.
That Burns 4 is the result of what you might take if you fail.
So a
7 through 9 is a like partial success.
Okay, well, I'm just gonna write burn 4 because I know a 5's gonna take the full thing.
Yes, so along with the gunshot, you take burn. You're not having a good day.
I'm not.
You're not. And what did you get, Anya?
I got a 9.
9, so you get sizzled 3. As this cone of fire comes out scarlet, the night sky in this dimly lit or relatively poorly lit stadium car park is just a burst of flame as this partially or mostly petrified muscular man has managed to twist his head just enough, blowing this sort of cone of fire, this fire breath. You can see his head kind of sag, but being virtually petrified leaves him physically exhausted. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing, Scarlet?
Well, I want to take this guy down and protect my friends. I don't know if I can get a surprise attack because he's distracted.
Oh, go with it. He's also petrified 4, so that would be a +4 to your roll.
Okay, so then that's a +5.
So are you are hitting
the... I'm just
going
to try to kill him.
Wow,
honestly.
That's mean.
Well, okay. You know what? He just threw fire at my friends, so...
He did.
Hey.
Yeah, hit with all you've got.
All right. So it's +5, we said? So that's
yes, we did.
12, then 7 plus 5.
All right. Same as before, but you get to choose two of them, so you can take a superior position, get them good, so give them a status plus the tier, and hold their attention, or gain the upper hand and take a juice. But imagine you want to probably get them good at this point.
Yes, superior position and get them good. Unless I can do get them good twice.
Unfortunately not. So what status do you want to give? So that's a what?
A status.
I wish there was like a list.
There is. It's unfortunately in the MC's book.
Yeah.
So what was your power?
5.
So +1 for the get them good is a 6. So it doesn't really matter what you say because it's... beyond what he is able to resist.
So I kill him.
Defeated 6. How's that?
How about unalive?
Oh, nice.
Unalive, yes.
Unalive 6.
As you strike him, Scarlet, his body remains where it is because of the petrification, and his head sort of hangs, and the gun sort of drops to the floor at his feet, and he is quite clearly at the very least unconscious. At the very least, he's probably got some other cranial issues going on there.
If he's just unconscious, I'm going to slit his throat.
I mean, he's definitely dead now, but he's still standing upright because he's petrified in place. So now blood pours down the front of his top.
With my -7, I want to like push him over. Nothing happens because I'm too weak to push him over. I want to just push him over.
Eh.
Fuck you.
Just to clarify, your burns and your gunshot wound are technically separate. So your burn is a 4.
Oh, I know.
Being burned and being shot is slightly different. So it wouldn't technically be plus 7, but it probably feels like it. Because
at six and above,
you're dead. So, no good. You can move over there and he collapses to the floor. Or is pushed to the floor. I don't know, you describe it. How does it look when you push him over in your very battered state?
Unless you're going to inflict something bad happening. I think nothing happens. I think that with my gunshot and my thing, I'm just like angry and I'm trying to push him, but he's also really heavy. And so I think he just rocks a little bit and somebody else probably comes and gives him the little hoof to just fall.
I go, Martha, can you undo the dome thing? Might be easier to push him over.
Yes, Anya's going to go and pick up the gun and check it out.
Martha, do you release the petrification effect before I move?
If he's fully dead, then yes, I'll relieve the petrification.
He is very much... Well, he's just had his throat slit by Scarlet, so if he wasn't dead before, which he kind of was, he's definitely dead now.
You said kind of. I need to be sure.
And you were. And you made absolutely sure. So as you release the petrification, he kind of, with very little encouragement, crumples to the floor. There is now blood pooling in and around close to the car. The gun that was released is now sort of getting caked in blood, coated in blood, to say the least. You pick it up, and down the side, inscribed into sort of the slider along the barrel, is a dragon-type form. Very ornate, very beautifully sort of engraved image of a dragon on the pistol. Anya, with your sizzled state or condition as it is, your phone begins to ring again.
Is it Theo?
Of course it's Theo.
She's just going to be like, she's not going to pick it up, but she's just going to look at it and being like, well, to God, Theo, you keep calling me. I'm going to be the one you're going to have to worry about. But she's not picking it up and not saying it to him, but she's saying it to her phone.
Yes.
And just... It's just like, we really need to get going.
Isn't that like the 15th time he's called you so far? Like, that's...
It is getting a little excessive, but he is worried for his life.
Well, yeah, but it's like, oh, you might be undercover, and then your phone starts ringing.
Yeah, she will just... She won't pick up, but she will text him a quick just, still on our way. Just sit tight. We'll be there soon.
He sends back the hand, the sort of the palms together, sort of prayer emoji, like several times in the same message.
We'll also turn to Martha and be like, "Did you bring a weapon?"
I am a weapon.
I think you might need this more than me. We'll hand you the gun. You know, like grip first.
Do you take
the gun?
Hell
yeah.
All right. You might need this more than.
So make a note. You have a story tag of 9mm pistol or pistol. Pistol will work.
Pistol. Okay.
All right. So you can use that should you need to, you know, roll further down the line.
Is there a way to help bandage people up?
Do you have any kind of medical stuff in your car? Would you like to do a flashback to put some in your car?
Yes. I will flashback to the last time we did this and somebody got real hurt and we stopped at a CVS and put together a first aid kit to help ensure that if we were ever to run into these situations again, we would be prepared for the next time.
And let's face it, it was Martha that got shot last time.
Probably.
Like, she just keeps trying to walk up and convince people of things and then she gets shot. Mm-hmm. It happens.
Entirely fair. Scarlet, for your flashback, I'd like you to do a change the game, please.
Can I use empathetic for that?
Absolutely, you can.
Observant seems trustworthy, Adam.
Yep, I'll go with observant.
Okay, that's a 7.
7. So with a 7, you can create like first aid kit as a story tag to try and use. And so you're able to find enough. You don't get the best one in the shop, but get enough to sort of bandage her up.
I mean, it's CVS.
Bandage Martha up a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm like, hold on, get a Band-Aid, pull it, pull some alcohol. It's just straight vodka, honestly.
Don't drink any, you're driving.
I'm not.
Oh no, I drink it.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
We drink. I take a chug of it and then pour it on the wound.
Yeah.
I've seen that work in a movie once, so that I'm sure that's how that works.
Pretty sure it's worked in every movie.
And then I bandage up the worst of it.
We'll keep the tags as they are, unless you want to do a montage, but you're at the stadium. Theo is close by. If you find Theo, you can always do a montage on completion of that. All right. You guys sort of assess there's a body. There's a very nice car sat next to you, far nicer than your Honda Civic, Scarlett. I'm just being honest.
You think I can have the car? Or is that, would that be bad? That would draw attention, right?
Yeah, GPS, it's probably tagged.
But it's such a nice car. He doesn't need it any. I'm going to look through his car.
Anya's just like, what are you doing that? Just pop the hood really, really fast.
I pop the hood.
All right.
Should we use my master thief skills to try and find the GPS thing and pull it out?
Do me an investigate.
Cool. I do have careful and measured.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Taking my time as much as I can. This poor Theo. We will get to him eventually.
This is what he gets for being obnoxious, okay?
He was like, help! And we're like, oh, we gotta remove the GPS tracker in this car. But yeah, that and... I have breaking and entering, but that's more breaking and entering. But
It's loose, but you're breaking something, so I'll allow it.
Yeah, cool. Awesome, that's an 11.
All right. You scan the engine bay, pretty quickly suss out what should be where. You find the fuse box and have cast half an eye over that. You find the CPU for the car. And while you're working on that, you are able to... What'd you get? An 11?
Yep.
Do you disable the chip? Remove it? What are you trying to do with the engine?
Straight up remove the tracker, just in case, so that nobody can turn it on later.
Okay. So you remove a chip, therefore severing the link between the GPS server and the vehicle. You, Scarlett, are searching through the car, and... Mm-hmm. In the glove compartment, you find a nice pair of male driving gloves, because why not? You find a carefully positioned, so it is accessible but not immediately obvious, you find a magazine or a clip for the pistol that has been acquired by your group. There is the sat-nav. The car key is accessible to you. It was on the body, so you'll have to get your feet damp in blood, but you can get the car key and start it if you need to. There's a few pamphlets for the casino. There's very little else. This car is kept almost impeccably tidy. It seems to be valeted and put through a wash routine rigorously and religiously.
I take the driving gloves and then the magazine, and I will hand the magazine to Martha and say, here's some backup. And then I will wipe down any spots that I touched with my hood.
Congratulations on your new car.
Yeah. We need to kind of take care of that body, though. Let's go save Theo, and then we have to take care of the body.
That's honestly not hard.
Okay. All right. Well.
There are rivers.
Let's do that after we save Theo so he stops calling you.
Yes, that would be preferable. Going to sort of look for best way in. Actually, one that has little light that I could maybe get in or out undetected.
The sections of the turnstiles for fans to filter through. There are areas where the light gaps between the spotlights dimly light the interior fence, blocking people from just cruising up and getting a free game at the stadium. There seems to be weak points in the fence. There seems to be sort of gaps between. Scarlett, you were looking for CCTV cameras beforehand, and you managed to sort of scope out a section that seems to have, whether the cameras have been knocked accidentally or a bird has sat on it and pushed out position or something, but there does seem to be a spot just round from the turnstiles that would potentially suit your access requirements and egress potentially.
While we're looking at those TVs, can I make sure that there's no footage of the scene in the parking garage?
You would have to find the security booth to do that.
Okay. I'll just say, while you're doing that, I'm going to go look for the security booth and then just go lurk in the shadows.
All right. Scarlett, you will move away into the shadows and go one way, so I'll get a sneak around off of you. And Anya and Martha, are you going to this opportune place in the fence line?
Yes. Yes, come straight heading.
I'm going with Anya.
All right. As you split up and move your separate ways, it starts to start drizzling. Just a little bit of rain start coming down in the air, where the man was clearly wrong. Start to slowly coat everything with that soft patter of rain. At the fence line, the pair of you are met with a rather ordinary looking chain link fence that prevents your access. It's quite tall, probably 8 feet or so, with barbed wire that wraps around the top between the CCTV posts.
Well, and I have just sort of my thieves' tools and things like that. I probably have something to clip wires or things like that, and it essentially is try to make a little hole in the fence that we can all just sort of slip through.
All right. Yeah, so using your tools, you're able to cut a suitably sized, you would know how big to make the gap, and you're able to weave through and into the stadium itself, this imposing stadium that is remarkably quiet. Now the gunshots, the shouting, the fire, and everything else, with the exception of the soft patter of the rain, it is quiet. The whole arena remains open to you as you disappear on and through. Scarlet, you have stepped to one side and into the shadows.
Yes.
Where are you going next?
Well, my role was with a lurk in hiding and easy to ignore. I got a 10, and I'm going to the security room to look for the cameras to make sure there's no evidence of us.
All right. You are able to make and find your own way through the fence line, getting through and into the stadium proper. You disappear, and this time you go in and down a set of staircase almost under the stadium, and start heading through the back. It's a pretty generic stadium layout with changing rooms and all those other sorts of rooms. And it takes you a little bit of time, but you find security room, and going in, you find an array of monitors, most of which they're on standby almost. There doesn't seem to be anyone about. Close season, maybe the caretakers come in once or so. So the monitors appear to be on standby. The equipment itself does seem to have power applied to it though.
Okay, so I will just double check. Using my new riding gloves, I will just mess with it a little bit to make sure like it's not just asleep and still working, and just verify it's not recording. And if it's not, then, and I'm happy with that, then I'll be good.
As you interface with the panel, almost starting like a wave of activity, the monitors start popping up. They're all pretty small, separate monitors, and you can see separate parts of the stadium dimly lit through these cameras popping up into life as it shows the infield, the stands, the concession stands around, and the shop areas. And then you see the cameras focusing down onto sections of the car park, and on one of the monitors you see a little bit smaller than you might anticipate, because it's got to cover a large area of the car park, is what looks to be a strangely oblong, rectangular black shape. Some mound next to it, and then a dark shadow on the floor under the sort of the gloom of the lights in the car park.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take that tape.
Do me an investigate.
I'm going to add observant. I don't think I can add anything else. Not a fail, so it's a 7.
Okay, so on a 7, you can ask me any question you would like, but there potentially is going to be a drawback.
How do I get the tape for that video?
The video isn't recorded to a tape as such. While the equipment has been on standby, it appears to be linked to some hard drive that backs up all the information from the separate camera zones, so you would need to locate the hard drive relevant to the car park camera set up to remove that particular. And you would know clearly, stood in the room full of screens and control panel, that this is not that room. There is another room, like a server room almost, that you would have to go and locate that hard drive.
Great. Fantastic. Wonderful. I'm going to shift that camera. No, I'm just gonna go look for the fucking hard drive. I'll just sigh, power down the cameras.
Screens start to go black, you're plunged back into the mild darkness of the room itself, and you head out back into the hallway. While you continue your search looking for to remove some evidence, Anya and Martha, you are through and into the stadium. Theo had said that he was hiding up in the commentator's booth almost, which you wheeling around in under the overcast sky with the rain coming down a little bit heavier now. You can see up between the stands where the commentator's booth is, and the room itself appears to be dark, with only the slightest hint of glow of light coming from the commentator's booth.
You have to turn on a light. That is going to make our job harder. Okay. Look over at Martha and just being like, dude, you ready for this?
Ready as I'll ever be. Let's go see what he needs. See what he did.
No bad things probably, and we'd have probably beat him up for it.
Mm-hmm.
Heading up through the stadium, unless you tell me otherwise. I'm guessing you're taking a direct route.
As direct as we can, trying to stick to shadows as much as I can.
Yeah, same.
So as you weave up under the shadows and under the sort of the cover that forms the roof effectively over the stands, moving through the shadows created, you're able to make your way up, and the glow inside the commentator's booth, it snaps out quickly, and you can hear what sounds like sort of shuffling and moving. And from the inside of the commentator's booth, we can see Theo sort of hide his phone and hide in underneath as he's starting to panic, and he's physically shaking under this desk.
Martha sighs really loud. Seriously?
Who's there?
It's us, Theo.
How do I know it's you?
I'm gonna start cursing in Russian.
I can't understand what you're saying. Oh no, that makes sense. Where is he? Is he here?
The person in fancy car maybe has nice suit.
Yeah.
Imposing looking. Well.
He was a big guy in a suit. He was chasing me. The one from the roof. The one I told you about, Anya.
We took care of somebody who showed up. I didn't see anyone else.
Oh, thank God. Can we leave? I don't want to stay here anymore.
Yes, I do think that would be a good idea.
Yeah, but you should probably also fill us in on what the hell happened.
That too.
I only saw it briefly. As I was doing this job I was hired to do, I was making my way out. I had it all planned. I mean, it was even easier than I expected because there was no one in the penthouse when I went out there. I didn't have to wait or hide. I just crept in and there was the sword and that was the job, and I got the sword, and then I went to where I was going to use my hand glider. And I saw him, and I thought, well, that's a bit weird. Who'd be on the roof at this time? And I was like, why is there a man with dogs? Why is there a man with dogs on the roof? And that's when I sort of stopped, and while I was looking and trying to work out who it was, I don't know who it was. I saw this woman in this dress, and she was pretty, which is kind of makes it a bit worse, but. I didn't hear what they were saying, but the next thing I see is this guy in this nice suit facing her. I see his arm go out, and that was it. Then she was gone. I didn't know what to do. I gasped. I panicked a little bit, and then the big guy saw me, and I ran, and making sure I had the sword because that was the job. Making sure I had the sword, I used my hand glider, but I heard him. I heard him running across the rooftop. So he must have. I don't know if he saw where I landed or what. But he found me at Martha's. No, he didn't. He found me at Marla's, the Ace of Clubs. Well, I'm guessing so because I had to hightail it out of there quick, and I came here because I didn't know where to go. And then I phoned you, Anya.
Yes. Well, yes, we should go discuss this away from here.
Sure.
Yes.
Maybe you, Theo, should come identify the body that we...
Yes, that is probably good.
Took care of.
Yes, well, we took care of it.
I only saw her for a second. She fell off the... Okay.
Nope, the man.
Yes, big scary man.
Breathed fire. Didn't like it.
I didn't know... Okay, that was a new one. We have a lot to talk about. Sure. You lead the way. You can see him sort of holding his phone, and he's basically grabbed your leg, Anya, as you sort of try and walk. He's like, protect me.
We'll walk out pretty much the same way we came in.
And I want to be behind. So, like, as we're trying to be sneaky and, like, walking, like, in a three in a line, I want to have Theo in between us.
Okay.
Just in case. That little man's not running away from us.
I think he's too scared to run away from his shadow at this point. As the three of you in this line use vanguard, rear guard, and protecting Theo in that respect, move down and out through the stadium. You move him under the fence that you opened up. You rejoin Scarlet. It takes you a little bit of time to sort of check a couple of different rooms till you find, ironically named, security room.
Very convenient.
Bracket server. you know, because why not? And as you go in there, there is just banks of computers. There is a terminal for a technician to access, like, the whole system. So there's a computer access terminal, and then there's just basically three walls of
hard drives
and other security equipment linked into this one central hub.
Mm-hmm. It would be a shame if someone poured water on something.
I mean, it would be a shame, wouldn't it?
Someone would do that, because I don't know which hard drive it is.
Hydration is important.
Unless it specifically states parking lot hard drive. With observant again?
Yeah, go on then. You've changed location.
8.
Okay. While it is not specifically states which camera it is, they do seem to be banked in the same way the monitors were. So infield, outfield, stands, concessions, external, and then car park seems to be the last wall. The hard drives aren't labeled, but you can identify it's in that stack.
I'll take all of that are in that stack.
Nice. So as you are unloading all these hard drives, the terminal seems to flash into life and start going into alarm.
Is there like a power button?
Looking around, there is like an emergency power stop button by the door, like a safety.
Push that button.
The whole place just goes.
Does the alarm stop?
That alarm stops, yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take those and then like run, because now the cameras are down and...
All right. As you run and make your way back up and out, the four of you are now in the rain as Scarlet, you regroup with the other three. Theo, stuck in between... Oh, placed.
Probably gotta go.
Cautiously looked after.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, yes. First, Theo, is that the person who is bothering you?
He's like, oh, God, what have you done?
Answer the fucking question.
Yes, it's him. It's him. It's him. It's. Cool. I think it's him.
So, do we want to meet back at the bar?
What are we doing with the car and the body? Because I may have accidentally triggered something when I pulled these out.
Well, if you want to help me load the body into the trunk, I will probably just take a detour by the river.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Dump him there.
Theo, help lift the body. You're the one that got yourself into this mess.
And you can see him, like, struggle to pick up the other end. Whoever's picking up, Anya, I'm guessing, picking up the one end. Theo is attempting badly to pick the other. Are you getting under the arms or are you getting the legs? I'll ask that question.
I will get under the arms.
So Theo manages to sort of pick up his legs, but the guy's backside is still on the floor, and then he sort of shifts down and lifts him by the knee, but then he sort of cracks him off the boot of the car. It's not very dignified, but the body is moved into the boot. And kind of gladly, the rain is starting to disperse some of the blood that pooled. I mean, it's not got rid of it by any stretch, but it's helping to lift it slightly.
Yes. Well, and just be like, you do well. We'll meet back at the bar. I will deal with the body and we'll figure out our next steps.
All right.
Theo.
You going with me or Anya?
Theo points to his own car and says, I'll follow behind you, Scarlet.
Okay, that works.
I'm going to ride with Theo.
Just to make sure it doesn't run away.
I'm suspicious of everybody.
Good to be suspicious, everybody.
I said, all right, I'm also Theo, not going to apologize for the blood in your car.
What?
Aww. I got shot, okay? Give me a break. Open the door for me.
He opens the door. Initially, he opens the driver's door for some strange reason, and then he's like, no. And then he goes around and opens the door to let you into his car. And gets in, starts the engine, stalls it, gets in, starts the engine, and pulls up close to Scarlet, your car. And as you begin to drive out, Scarlet, your phone begins to ring.
I check the hard drives not carefully into the boot of my trunk where a tire should be. And there is a smaller tire, but it's not like the right thing. And then I'm picking up the phone and going into the driver's seat and going, hello.
You called my mom? Are you going to be soon?
I am going to be tonight. I just wanted to make sure that you had somebody there. Plus, I told her to bring some lasagna. That's your favorite. I thought it'd make you feel better.
What'll make me feel better is if you're here.
I know, but I can't do that right this second. I had to take care of some things. You know how work is. And I mean, good news is everything's great and I'll be home as soon as the work is done. And that I love you. I mean, and come on. You know, I would only leave if I absolutely had to.
I know, but she's put on that show I don't like.
Which one? Hallmark Channel?
Just come home soon, sweetheart, please.
Honestly, what you do is just go to the cable place and just cancel that channel completely. Just go on the website, on the app.
Just come home soon.
I will.
Love you.
Love you too. Say bye. Say hi to your mom for me.
Phone goes dead. Not a bad way. She just...
She could break up with me one day. It's like, I need you. I gotta go to work. I mean, it's for you, but I need to go to work. Thank you so much for listening to the first part of City of Mist RPG. This episode was DM'd by Adam from Snyder Returns, and we'll be back for part 2 in 2 weeks. If you enjoyed this episode, please check out the second episode in 2 weeks, and I hope you have a wonderful day. Bye.
So really quick, before we have to all leave, let's say where everybody can find you. Adam!
I'm Adam from Snyder's Return TTRPG Interview and Actual Play Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Return Snyder. We're also on Facebook and Instagram, and part of Awfully Queer Heroes and Beholder to No One's shows. So come and check us out and support Beholder to No One too.
Yeah. Aubrey.
Hello, I am Aubrey. You can usually find me. I am the GM of both Goblets and Gaze and Anima Magiri, Goblets and Gaze Pathfinder. And Anima is a City of Mist podcasts. We don't play the game very well. I will let people know. We are very fast and loose with rules. And then you can also find me now, just as trailer has just dropped this week. I am Silver on Bring Your Own Mech, a Lancer RPG podcast, which is really cool.
Awesome. And Nicola.
Yeah, I am Nicola the Druid on Twitter at Nicola the Druid. You can also find links to all my projects, because it'll take way too long to talk about them, on my link tree at link, T-R-E-E, however that goes, Nicola the Druid.
Awesome. And you guys can find me at Beholder to No One on Twitter, and all the other links are down below. Check out the YouTubes and the Patreon and all the Ko-Fis and coffees and things and merch. And yeah, I hope you all enjoyed this episode, and I will see you guys next time. Bye.
Hey.
Bye.
Bye.